Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
This is Cosmos Magazine, Summer 2018, and I'm into the fourth episode of reading, and the objective here is to actually read fluently with feeling and make it a bit more interesting. So over my podcast, I hope I'm improving that way. Now, this is from a section called, it's where they've got standard people viewpoint. And so they've got standard people, and this is the thinker, the philosopher, Paul Bellinger, philosopher, physician, and adjunct research fellow at the bioethics of Monash University. Getting a grip on the yuck factor. Personal pigs pose some perplexing problems. That one. For millions of diminutive fans of Peppa Pig, there's almost nothing cuter than a talking piglet. Outside the communal land, boundary between pig and human is also blurring. The response is, in some quarters, is less enthusiastic. In January 27, the team led by Juan Carlos Zappi Belmont at the Salk Institute in California announced they had introduced human stem cells into pig embryos. The result was a hybrid embryo, part pig, part human. Such creations are called chimeras, either mythological creature blended between a lion, a goat, and a snake. No Peppa Pig resulted, just one in the hundred thousands of embryo cells were human, and the embryos were destroyed after 28 days. The researchers' stated goal was to test which type of human stem cells would best graft into pig embryos, with the ultimate aim of directing those cells to grow into human organs that might, in one day, be used for transplants. Nonetheless, such experiments often elicit repugnance. They can morph rapidly into moral condemnation. In August 2016, the U.S. National Institute of Health, NIH, invited public comment on the idea of lifting its moratorium on funding chimera research, but in place since 2015. Okay, before that time, federal government funding for chimera research had been available so long as the primate, including human embryos, weren't used. Privately funded research, such as Belmonte's, was not subject to government restrictions. The NIH received more than 21,000 submissions. There were common themes. Scientists should be creating monsters and generally blurring the line between human and non-human animals. In philosophical parlance, such arguments appeal to what bioethicist Leon Cass has called the wisdom of repugnance, or less formally, the yuck factor. The question is how much weight we should give to the yuck factor. Cass arguing against human reproductive cloning in 1997, thought that we should give it plenty. Repugnance, he wrote, quote, is an emotional expression of deep wisdom beyond the reason powerful to articulate it. As a guide to what is good, though, the emotions have a very checkered history. A feeling of disgust on smelling spoilt food, for example, is obviously conducive to good health. But many people also find the thought of facial transplant repulsive, despite recent evidence it's effective for some types of bowel inflammation. So it's worthwhile interrogating emotions. Consider the lofty goal of researchers: human organs, most likely from pig-human hybrids, could be one day reverse massive donor shortfall that sees people awaiting transplants die every day. That goal received a big boost in February 2017 when a team from Hiromushi Nasaki at Stanford University grew mice pancreases in rats. Pancreas cells were then implanted back into diabetic mice, curing their disease for a year. The good tidings were tempered, however, by residual duckiness from a 2013 experiment led by Stephen Goldman at the University of Rochester's Medical Center in New York that found that mice embryos injected with human brain cells turned out to be significantly far smarter. That experiment stroked speculation that human pig chimeras might inadvertently acquire human intelligence, and with that, a consummate sort of set of moral rights, even a right to continued existence. Julian Savucel, a bioethics professor at the University of Oxford, has argued that if a pig achieves sufficiently advanced cognition, the default position should be that we should assign moral status. The awkward corollary might be that the pig with human organs that could not, in good conscience, be killed to retrieve them. It is likely, though, that personal poor science will remain a fantasy land. For one thing, Peter's gestation takes a mere 3 months, hardly long enough for a human brain to form. Furthermore, genetic tricks are possible, such as inserting instructions into the DNA of human stem cells so brain cells will self-destruct. In Australia, the Prohibition of Human Cloning for Reproduction Act outlaws the creation of chimeric embryos. However, Meek and Muncie, the Centre for Stem Cell Systems at the University of Melbourne, points out the law bans putting animal cells into human embryos. That act is silent on the reverse scenario. Muncie says the topic will be squarely on the agenda at the annual meeting of the International Society of Stem Cell Research in Melbourne in mid-2018. The Yuck Factor will no doubt continue its striking contribution to the debate. We do well to ensure, however, the voices of people on transport waiting lists are not drowned out in the hubbub. Incurable engineer Alan Finkel is an electrical engineer, neuroscientist and chief scientist of Australia. Innovation in materials and design has liberated creativity. Take a long stroll along Shanghai's Bund, the traditional promenade along the west bank of the Hangpu River, and relish the cornucopia of 17th century architectural style on display in the waterfront buildings, Gothic, Romanesque, Baroque, Classical and Renaissance. These were banks, hotels, gentlemen clubs and corporate headquarters of the British concession in the international trading port. To the east, over the river to Pudong, the architecture of the 21st century issues a magnificent riposte. Buildings each exuberantly reach exuberantly for the sky. One resembles a sphere perched on a tree trunk. Another is pierced near the top by a trapezoidal hole through which a jet could fly a jet. Others twist and cantilever curve and taper. So different to the regular blocks of the brutalist architecture burgeoned in Australia in the 50s and 60s. Ever since seeing the exuberant architecture of Pudong, I began to take notice of a new crop of soaring, twisting skyscrapers being built everywhere, from New York to Dubai to Sydney. Why, I wonder, was architecture in recent years so much more artistic than 50 years ago? We hardly believe there was any difference in the fundamental creativity. There had to be no other reason, and there is. There had to be another reason, and there is. Architects today are freer due to two gifts from the modern era: computer-aided design and advanced material. Computer-aided design allows integrated approach to all aspects of a building, from the broad brushstrokes of an architectural design to the detailed engineering of the structure. It allows investors for future occupants to take three-dimensional virtual tours, flying through proposed buildings to assess the ethical, aesthetic appeal, as well as the practical issues like the possibility of the space and movement of people. Other powerful software allows complex structures to be imagined, engineered, such as the soaring geometrical dazzling glass canopy covering the Great Hall of the British Museum in London. The canopy is made of 1,656 pairs of glass panes, each pair slightly different size and shape. Advanced materials now being used might have made the same names as materials of 100 years ago. But concrete, glass and steel have lifted their game. Concrete is still a mixture of cement, stone and water. But now, state-of-the-art cretes are reinforced with steel, carbon fibres, fine grains of sand, nanosilica particles and powdered quartz. And this type of high-strength concrete is used to rebuild the World Trade Center in New York, the One World Trade Center. Advanced concrete enabled small cross-sections for the columns in the wall to maximize floor space. Modern window glass is coated with exotic techniques using magnetically enhanced cathodic spluttering. I have to understand what that is. It creates almost no tint, optimizes thermal transmission, minimize the reflections that would otherwise make the windows look like mirrors. So that's really, I have to understand it. Magnetically enhanced cathodic spluttering, I have to understand that one. Glass impregnated various mixture of copper, titanium, zirconium, nickel, silicon is stronger and better than thermal acoustic performance than traditional glass. The strength of modern steels results from the advances in quenching and tempering such fabrication, inclusion of other elements such as manganese, tungsten or cobalt. Besides the beauty and strength, advanced materials are produced with minimum wastage. The precision of computer design ensures the thickness and shapes of the beams and walls are no greater than they need to be, while the use of fabrication methods such as laser cutting achieves desired shapes. The future promises to be even more spectacular. In effect, expect to see the final completions of Tony's Antoni Gaudi's Sagrada Familia Basilica in Desania commenced in 1882. Computer-controlled fabricating machines are enabling the complex hyperbolic and parabolic shapes specified by Gaudi to be faster and more accurate than it could be done by hand. Everywhere, robotic bricklaying machines will create walls and design features that allow it to bend in ways that would be impossible to be built by hand. To see current examples, search the 2012 China Central Television headquarters designed by Kim Kulas for the Beijing Olympics, and the 2010 Tesma Art Museum in Japan designed by Ru Nishiwaki, and the 2008 Shanghai World Financial Center at Pudong designed by Cohen Person Fox. It's exhilarating to see how computer science and materials have unleashed the art of architecture. Beautifully put, and I will check out the magnetically enhanced cathodic splattering. I'll put that in if I can get a chance. Now, this article is something which is a very picture article, so it's showing basically chimeras, pig human chimeras, and they look very, very different. The science writer comes to terms with the disturbing vision of acclaimed artist Patricia Bassini in an essay by Elizabeth Finkel. So it's really good. These people make these models of half pig, half humans, and so it gets you really thinking. You get this yuck factor, but nice factor. I first encountered the art of Patricia Bassini in 2003. She had shot Global Flame representing Australia at the year's Biennale. Venice Biennale. It was a process. I was in the process of writing a book, Stem Cells, The Conflict at the Frontiers of Science. So I suppose that's Elizabeth Finkel saying that. One of Patricia's key pieces at the Biennale was We Are Family, a shockingly realistic sculpture of a mother with her babies. Their pink fleshy bodies are pig-like, but their faces and expressions are human. Three of the babies are suckling, the fourth the gurgles on its back, clutching it just like a human baby. I was dismayed by the piece. It seemed to embody even more dystopian reaction. So there is actually an element of dystopia, DY. Reaction to stem cell science I was trying to battle in my book. But scientific developments of the past 2 years have forced me to do a double take. I now view Bettini's work as providing compelling space in which to explore the fast-changing contours of the ethical landscape. 15 years ago, Patricia and I were both responding to scientific revolution. In 1998, researchers in Australia and United States finally cracked the problem of how to cultivate stem cells from human embryos. Like the embryo, these cells have primordial power. They can multiply and give rise to any organ. But unlike a human embryo, which rapidly relinquishes that power and morphs into a body, stem cells can be kept in power forever. The potential was obvious. Like Prometheus stealing fire from the heavens, embryonic stem cells captured the stuff of human life. Any number of human illnesses and injuries might be cured. A new pancreas for a child with juvenile diabetes, a new spinal nerves to restore the movement of a paralyzed person, new brain tissue to replace the loss caused by Parkinson's disease. Dystopian narratives abounded in the Australian government. Like others around the world, debated how to capture the biological flower without being burnt. In my view, those narratives were not useful. There's also several ethical arguments mounted against the stem cell science. One seemed to gain the most traction was that it was unethical because it required the destruction of human embryos. Strange, given these 5 days, embryos did not have a single nerve cell, were surplus and hence destined to be thrown out. Furthermore, even with a fully mature human beings, they harvest their organs when they die to save the lives of others. That's pretty amazing, I suppose. This is interesting. Elizabeth Finkel is really a researcher in this, and some of these diagrams are pretty amazing. Another argument posed, even if the initial use of stem cells were acceptable, it's a slippery slope technology could seduce society into going places it shouldn't. One of the key dystopian tropes involved chimeras, creatures that mix of more than one animal, and just the sort of idea Pacini had given form with her young family. Pacini's work catches you unprepared. It's a slippery slope in action. In my book, I argue there's no such thing as slippery slope. Technology is not in the driver's seat. There are checks and balances. Each point along the road, we decide whether or not to continue our journey. For me, the important example of robustness checks and balances was the genetic modification of human embryos. And technology existed since the 70s. It is the same technology that has created goats with spider silks in their milk or fast-growing pigs. Yet decades on, people are not being genetically engineered. Oh, that's a bit weird. We had drawn moral line in the sand for good reasons. One was the unforeseen biological consequences. After all, our gene pool is a result of millions of years natural selection. The diversity of imperfection we see in human population reflects the optimized set of genes that allow us species to survive plagues, changing climates, and adapt to new food sources. That has led to genetic trade-offs. For instance, it may make the hemoglobin that carries going to be sick cells, oxygen to the bloodstream, you need beta globulin gene. If you inherited sickle cell form of the gene, you risk anemia and block blood vessels. On the other hand, you are protected against dying from malaria. So I've got thalassemia and I've got all the stroke problem. But that's another genetic trade-off we don't know about. For the sake of future generations, such as plagues and cataclysms they must face, it has been considered too risky to tamper with the genetic legacy we don't entirely understand. Another argument against genetic engineering is embryos is concerned about creating genetic upper caste. Bioethicist Laurie Zoloth has warned our knowledge of unforeseen consequences is too poor, our capacity for greed and narcissism too strong, and our society already too unjust to begin designing babies on a spec sheet. According to Zoloth, who served on the US Recombinant DNA Advisory Committee, genetic engineering of human embryos, quote, has been rejected by every political, religious and ethical body that has considered it. So, in 2015, it was a shock when these Chinese scientists announced they had crossed the moral line. They had genetically modified human embryos to correct a defect that causes beta thalassemia, another type of anemia. So that's what I've got. The modified embryos were not capable of becoming babies. They were faulty embryos rejected for an in vitro fertilization clinic because they had been fertilized with two sperms. Nevertheless, the experiment heralded the beginning of another revolution. This modifying human embryos has been enabled by new technology, CRISPR. So, was it? Palindrome repeats interspaced, palindrome repeat closely something or other of interspaced palindromic repeat. Regularly interspaced palindromic repeats. I've got to remember what that is. It's a form of genetic engineering so precise that it's been named genetic editing. That's correct. I'll have to do a podcast on that. Traditional genetic engineering was clumsy. To successfully engineer a single embryo requires attempts of hundreds of thousands of embryos. This degree of waste was deemed unacceptable with an animal, but with 10 or so embryos, a woman typically produces IVF cycle. Like many others, I was amazed. There was no moral line in the sand. After all, the technology was driving us to places we did not intend to go. Well, Francis Collins, director of the U.S. National Institute of Health, complained that his agency would not fund research reviewed, or, quote, almost universally as a line that should not be crossed. Other organizations, like the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, took a different view. The Academy argued that while risks of mistakes were too high to allow genetically modified embryos developed into a baby, research to refine an embryo editing technique should continue, and it has. In 2016, another Chinese team edited embryos to make them resistant to HIV by modifying the gene CCR5. Then a third Chinese team corrected faulty genes that caused beta thalassemia and flavism, a metabolic disorder which was red blood to self-destruct. Those experiments were all marred by unintended circumstances. While one part of the DNA was correctly edited, errors were introduced into other parts. Also importantly, not every cell in the embryo was fixed. However, in 2017, a US group achieved error-free editing of a human embryo. In this case, the scientists repaired the mistake of the gene MYBPC3 that caused sudden cardiac arrest in every 500 people without introducing errors elsewhere. Other moral lines in the sand were crossed in 2017, this time concerning chimeras, the name drawn from the Greek mythology and refers to a fire-breathing beast with a head and a body of a lion, a second goat head and a serpent for a tail. In January 1, I was taken back by a paper reporting something almost startling, a human pig chimera. This is not exactly as Pacini imagined it. The chimera was a fetus that was destroyed 4 weeks into development. Most of its tissue was derived from pigs, but every one cell in 100,000s was human. None of the human cells contributed to the fetus's brain function, as far as the researcher could tell. This was an important point of classification because even stranger paper published in 2013, researchers grafted human brain cells, gial progenitors, into mouse embryos. According to those researchers, the mice ended up being smarter. Brackets finding was a surprise given the types of cells don't actually relay signals. Rather, their maintenance crew that helped neurons stay into condition. So I have to really recall that so much. I have to go back and recall all this information. Magnetically splattered glass, I have to do that one. And remember CRISPR. I remember, what else do I have to remember? The cells. I have to go back and relearn all that. Why couldn't anyone want to make these mirrors to grow spare parts of people? Scientists have already grown a replacement pancreas for a mouse in this way. Mouse stem cells were introduced into a rat embryo whose DNA had been edited so it could no longer make a pancreas. The mouse stem cells filled the missing organ. The rat-grown pancreas then fixed the diabetes of the sick mouse for 370 days. It's got fixed in inverted commas. The researchers have been trying for years to coax human embryonic cells into making organs and tissue dishes. These organoids are not particularly functional. Imagine a builder trying to construct a freestanding functional bathroom without surrounding walls and plumbing. It wouldn't work. Biologists see to be facing a similar problem with freestanding organoids. Building them within the framework of a developing embryo seems to be the answer for now. So the potential exists to generate human organs for someone in a pig using their own stem cells, but there's also an ethical risk. Researchers are concerned human cells will contribute to the development of the pig's brain. It could inadvertently produce a pig with a human-like consciousness. What if the pig human cells ended up as eggs or sperm? If the chimeras make it, could the human be born? I don't think so. Okay. In August 2016, the NIH announced that it would lift the moratorium on the creation of such chimeras for research purposes. In 2018, some 15 years after the created artwork, Puccini's young family was in even greater resonance. Her human pig-like mother captures the ethicist's worst nightmare. Honest now that Puccini did not intend her young family to be as a dystopian trope, as she told me when she met her in the studio. Quote, I take science as given, she said. My art is about opening a space where things don't become black and white. They're not good or bad. They're related to how we feel about things, and that could change. It's not static, and I think the strength of art is part of the dialogue around how we shape our society. This is an amazing woman. Look at her. Yeah, amazing. Our society, beautifully put. Yeah, that is a fantastically structured idea. Now I see her young family in a deeply informed work that addresses profound issues, one of a rollercoaster relationship with modern medicine. We look at the medical expertise with great hope when we or our lives fall ill, but sometimes we are bitterly disappointed. Puccini experienced this rollercoaster as a teenager, watching her mother battle cancer. She was subsequently drawn to pathology museums to sketch Retief's specimens in formalin bottles. It was easy to see how she forged her idiom, her language of human flesh. Ultimately, Puccini's body of work addresses the profound question of what it means to be human. It also explores the boundaries between humanness and otherness of animals and cyber forms. Humans don't resemble the norm. As we enter the 25th century, a time where we can engineer flesh to create perfect babies or chimeras, and soon enough, machines with human intelligence, the question of what it means to be human begins to grow more pertinent. It certainly feels like we are on a slippery slope and losing our balance. Technology has not just changed what is physically possible, but it's also rocked the ethical landscape. Past moral certainties are no longer applied. New possibilities may bring new risks, but also new benefits. We are dizzied by the pace of change. Artists like Patria Puccini invite us to pause our frenetic lives, examine what has been captured in the freeze frame, and explore the possibilities. We face new realities. Beautifully written article. What a fantastically written article. That is just such a great article. Now, I've got to... What is... this is me. I've got to recall. It's my recall of what CRISPR isn't 100%, and my recall of what's his article. Magnetically enhanced cathodic spluttering. What does that mean? How does that work? Thanks a lot. Maybe the next podcast. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.